great and the beginning of the remarkable visit with Shirley and Ms. Guthrie. This Tuesday morning at noon, the Channel One Right and the beginning of the remarkable visit of Shirley and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72. Channel One Right and the beginning of this remarkable visit with Shirley and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday, the 4th of January, 72. Channel One Right and the beginning of this remarkable visit with Shirley and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72.
Run out then hug and kiss us.
Well, you
okay.
Get right.
That's all it took.
No,
why are you not proud?
I'm all proud, I mean.
I tell you what, I seem like I do all the talking over here. I was trying to let you all get in a word for.
Oh.
Don't you be mad enough.
Oh, I'll hug you myself.
I tell you.
Oh, Lord. All I can do is think of all that house turned upside down today. Well, I'm trying to use every excuse in the book to get out of the house. Just walk away and leave it.
We thought we'd give you one, too. A good one.
That is gorgeous, Faith.
Mm.
That is just out of this world.
You mean those onions and turnips?
Uh-huh.
It sure is. I noticed that before when I
you
was...
You see flowers every day, but you never see vegetables like this.
Well, it's little hand-painted things that the children gave us.
Well,
it's
gorgeous.
Isn't it just as natural?
One of their friends did that. It'd be she-horn. On old planks.
It's just as
nice,
isn't it?
Weathered
plant.
Onions and turnips.
Yeah.
It's rough. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Rough stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, that is just gorgeous.
It sure is.
You notice this thing. That's been there a long time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's old fashioned, isn't it?
I had that down the grocery
store. That's the guy I learned to talk on up there.
Oh, you've done that?
Yeah. My grandmother's there next to the Canadian border. That's where that's the only kind they have around that vicinity.
That sure
she
is
has
cute.
She has the old-fashioned spinning wheels, and she's so far back in the past it hurts.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, damn.
I don't think there's anything in this century that she's got in her house. You walk in there, you feel like you're
who
in a museum.
Who did that, Miss...
Beatrice Shehorn. She's from up in the Smokies.
Oh, not sure.
Oh, she's an artist.
No.
I thought you meant the children did it.
No, our children didn't do it. They just...
I'm
a friend of theirs.
Oh, I see. Well, that puts in a little
bit
of light.
Yeah, you can see that you can almost reach up there and pick you an onion, you know. They look surreal.
Well, they
you
look
can
just
see
like...
It's professional.
They look just like Bonnie and...
I know.
I
can paint a little, but I don't think I can master the realism in the picture that she has there.
That's what it looks like.
And Bonnie loves to paint. She got in school for the exchange gifts, you know, from one student to the other, she got a paint set, the oil set. You know, you paint by numbers.
I didn't tell you. It don't matter about it. I just sort of see
air.
Oh, the air coming
in.
Yeah.
But you judge. It don't matter to me.
No, I tell you, this better shut. I shouldn't be sitting there dressed because of my back. It's already giving me some trouble.
Well, that's my trouble. That's the reason I keep a little fire on
that. Yeah. Back.
All these sorry backs.
Oh.
But yeah, that is gorgeous. Bonnie painted this picture of this girl, you know, and on this cardboard thing right here. She was so proud of that painting, and she did a beautiful job on it.
You know, I was in China for 2 years in the army. And one of the customs I learned over there was if the guest admires something, you give it to them.
Oh, really? Well, I'm going to hold on to these.
So
I got one of those camellia plants out here, too.
So you can't go around admiring things so much over there. Because it puts people in a strain.
Oh, really? I better not go to China. I'd come home with half the state, probably.
Well, didn't they have a Christmas?
Oh, Lordy. Don't they always?
Oh.
You know, she called over here and invited us to come over there while them two boys is here. And I thought to myself, now that's the last place I want to go.
You should have been there.
Yeah. I just didn't know what I was missing.
It just to see Lloyd eat is a treat. For somebody else.
I bet you've known Lloyd, people like that, Miss Mary, who eat all the time.
I sure have. That there, you know, Glenda May Townsend?
Yeah.
She ate from the time she got up till she went to bed, and that was the last thing she done.
Well, she's growing, too. She's quite a big girl. The last time I saw her was at Patsy's Shower, and she's almost as big as I am, and here
at
she's what?
At Patsy's Shower?
Uh-huh.
Were you at Patsy's Shower?
Yes. You didn't go, did you?
No.
No, I just walked in and gave them a gift, and they were playing some kind of a game where they had several pair of pantyhoses in a bag, and you had to blindfold them. You had to get the pantyhoses out of the bag and try to get them off. The one that got the most pair of pantyhose off won the game. This is a woman's game. There's no men available here. We didn't have a time with that game going, and I walked in right in the middle of it.
I never was at the pantyhose.
And you didn't
fail.
You know who won the game? Mrs. Nell McCoy.
Is that
she
right?
She sure did. She won the game. She did better than you had gloves on your hands, so you couldn't feel what you was doing. You were blindfolded, and you had to work with pantyhose, and you know, you can imagine putting these on, blindfolded. And you were timed. I think it was 4 minutes. Something like that. I told myself, this takes me 20 minutes with my hands, not wearing no gloves, no blindfold. I thought they'd die laughing.
See what you mean?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I missed everything. So it don't
matter. It was a wedding shower, but let me tell you what Berman said. He took me down there, and he had to come and get me because the car, you know, wasn't running there. And Patsy is what, 16? Not quite 16. Or is she
about 15, I think.
And she's getting married, so this is her shower. So all the girls about her own age was invited to the shower. Well, with a few grown-ups that was given the shower, you know, and some of the relatives and neighbors about. And so Berman kept seeing the kids running around in there, you know, going in and going to these young girls going in and coming out and giggling and laughing and having a time. And he said to himself, he says, you know, I couldn't figure this out. He said, I knew it was the right place, the Diane's. He said, I knew I'd let you out there. But he says, here are all the kids outside running around the cars playing hide and go seek and whatnot, like little 6-7-year-old girls. He said it looked to him more like a birthday party than a shower, wedding shower, because of all the young kids.
And you know what?
And here she is again.
Marvin and I went up there and gave her some money. And we asked her when she went to get married to let us see her, you know, to drive up to the house. We ain't even seen hair nor hide of her.
She went to Georgia and she's supposed
she
to.
She didn't. She got married in Gainesville.
She did.
She sure did. So Julia said.
That's Patsy?
No, little Patsy.
Little Patsy.
Oh, getting married. I didn't know whether I wanted the Bonnie to go down to the shower or not. You know, I didn't know.
I didn't want anything to rub off on.
Yeah.
All the excitement of the gifts and everything. I thought, well, she just may get married just for the excitement of it. Of the shower, you know. So I didn't know whether to carry her down there, but I finally did. We didn't stay too long because of that. I got her out of there.
I don't know that I've heard of any merrymaking like that at a shower.
Yes, they acted just like a birthday party.
Oh, yeah, they have big time. At baby showers, wedding showers.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Have had all these.
Oh, yeah.
They always think of some new games to play, you know. And this was one of them. This was a humdinger of them all. I've never tried putting on pantyhose with garden gloves on, blindfolded.
I never heard of it.
We'll invite you to the next wedding shower.
baby shower.
That'll probably come up sooner than we expect.
Yeah. I think it's on in the making.
That's what prompted the wedding shower.
I believe it. I can't say for sure, but I'm afraid.
Have to take a trip.
That's why I said I thought she went to Georgia.
Oh no.
I'm still in Gainesville.
Judy said she got married in Gainesville.
Oh, that's Patsy. Over there.
Julia's girl.
Ooh.
You're Julia's girl.
Yeah.
Julia,
yeah.
I'm just not coming too.
I thought you knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said little Patsy. I thought
yeah. Lived just across the field from us.
Yeah.
Well, I was just catching on a little at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see Bonnie and Patsy's grown up together. It's just like Bonnie getting married, really. Bonnie's axe is older than Patsy does.
Well, I can see why they would be right hilarious.
He is dying with stitches, you know, in the truck, laughing at him as they're going in and playing all these games, you know, and talking about boys like
that.
Yeah, you could overhear all the conversation and while he's waiting on me to come out of the house in the shower. He really took in a lot while he was sitting there.
And they were out playing just like children.
Yeah.
Not like bride to bees at all.
And here, the shower wasn't until 7:30. Well, the guest of honor, Patsy, wasn't supposed to arrive at least a minute before 7:30, you know, according to etiquette.
Yeah.
And here she shows up at 5:30 along with all her school chums. And they sit around trying to act like they're of marriage age, you know, smoking cigarettes, dropping ashes all over the floor. Diane had a ball down there. She had to really step on.
Who was smoking ashes?
She told a few of them she was going to take them in the bedroom and spank them if they didn't put the cigarettes up. Now, how about that?
At
the bridal shower.
Bridal shower.
It was such children.
Well, Patsy don't act like anything but a little teen.
I know.
10-year-old.
Bonnie is much more grown. Than, look at that little sparrow eating that foot.
Yeah, isn't that cute?
I wish I could rig my kitchen window up like that.
You can if you get rid of that cat.
Cat and the monkey. And the monkey. The cat's no problem. All I have to do is turn him out after dark and he'll get in a fight and love like to kill him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't bother the birds. He doesn't bother anything. Doesn't try to sneak up on the birds.
Yes, but they...
But the birds have an instinct. They know that cat's there. But I have never seen so many birds in all my life as there is that gathers around that house in the morning. You know, to eat, I think it's the rice eat or something out there that didn't come up, you know. And they gather in that front yard. There's black birds, blue birds, every kind of bird you can think of. Two belly suckers was out there yesterday.
Oh, really?
And, I want to tell you about this. I was kicking myself for not telling you the last time I saw you. You know, or maybe I did tell you. I've been so excited about it, I've forgotten how many people I have told. But you know, Christmas Day, no, day after Christmas was on Sunday. Helen and Chet, those two boys, and our boys, was all back there in the back bedroom, in the boys' bedroom, playing pool. See, they the boys in Berman got a pool table for Christmas, so they're back there playing pool, making all kinds of racket. You never heard. You know how close their bedroom is to the swimming pool.
Uh-huh.
Well, Danny comes in. You got to see this. You got to see this. You better hurry. And he's all excited. He can't hardly talk.
And whispering to
you. Yeah. And here they are making so much noise back there. I can't hear him whispering. So I followed back to the bedroom. I thought it was something the boys were doing. Everybody else, oh, you, what'd you do that for? You know, you can hear them a mile. Look out there, look out there. And I looked out in the window, and to my soul, there was the biggest, one of those big sandhill cranes was down in the swimming pool, walking back and forth just as slow as he could in the swimming pool. And there was, you know how much water is just standing there?
Yeah.
We leave it in there for the little frogs to grow. You know, we have little frogs, then we have big frogs, you know, they grow real fast and multiply in there. So the kids like to watch him grow. So we just leave little.
I wondered why you left a little bit of water in the swimming pool.
Yeah, this is why. For the frogs. And Danny has a big kick in watching the. Well, I don't think it's the same frog because one day it's this size, the next day it's got legs almost as big as mine. That's a big frog. And here comes the sand creel crane. They come down the deep end, they go back up this way. You come back down the deep end again and go back up this way. Walk real slow back and forth to see if anybody was watching him. He was going down in there getting those frogs.
Well, sure.
And he was afraid something, you know, hearing the noise, he'd come back up and he'd check to see if anybody was watching him, and then he'd go back down and get him another frog. And that bird would have stayed, in, I think, right there in that spot if it hadn't been for the cat. Like you said, and that's what made me think about it. The cat started slipping up one side of the sidewalk on that pool.
Yeah.
Watching the bird, and the bird saw the cat, so he jumped up on the sidewalk right there, and he dared that cat to come any closer. Dared him, and he kept going down a little bit closer to the cat with his bill, you know, and the cat just stared at us. His back was like this, you know, the hair just standing up
and
straight.
And the crane was going to it.
He was going to peck that cat's eyes out, I'm sure of it, for bothering him, you know, intruding. But finally, the bird gave up and just turned around real slow and walked off just as slow as you please. And everybody by that time was making so much noise in the house, you know, so excited over the bird and seeing how close it came to the house. But, you know, I think there's something wrong with that bird, or else he had so many frogs he just couldn't airborne, and he was walking just as slow up the laneway, went up the laneway instead of flying off.
Walking
just as slow as he could. Never did fly. Berman said he thinks there's so many frogs in his stomach he just couldn't airborne. So maybe that was the reason.
Was Berman there?
Yeah, we were all there standing there watching him. After I finally saw them, you know, I called Helen in. She was in the front room and she came in there and she said, I've never seen a bird like that, you know. So she was amazed with them. And then we all got to watching him. I don't know, the pool game just went down the drain. It was all forgotten. We were watching the bird, you know. But he never did fly. He just walked off just as easy. And there was no mate. I don't know whether that's the first time I'd seen him separated like that.
Yes.
And I think this is the old fella that's been out there for a long time. This one and his mate's been out there ever since we've been there.
Yeah.
So something I think has happened to the mate. Because we never see them separated. But that was
that
was really, because it's so close to the house, it was really shocking to me to look out there and see the bird, you know, in the sun.
No, you hadn't said a word about that. I hadn't heard about it.
I meant to tell you when I was over here. I think it was, I don't remember who it was I was telling about that. Somebody that I've seen just recently, I told them about, and they were shocked to hear that, you know, the bird had come up that close to the house.
You know, I have tried to think of
was
ways.
It a whooping crane?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You never see him up close. I never see him up close.
I wonder if it was Mr. Hendricks' bird. I wonder if he's turned him loose. Because he was by itself. And this is where that bird originally came from, was our place. We gave it to him, you know, when it was just a chick. You've seen that big sandhill crane over there in his yard, haven't you, over there in McIntosh?
I don't even know where he lives.
Oh, really? You haven't seen it in his yard?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my goodness. Toward Orange Lake. Well, let's see. You know the drugstore is about two more blocks down past the drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the corner. His is the first little white house in the corner. There's a fence.
On 441?
No, no.
Towards
about two
wind.
Blocks down towards, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's on the right hand side of the road, right there on the corner. As you turn, you're going down 441, you turn left, and his place is on the right hand side of the road, the first house on the corner.
And
about
he has this
box from the. Yes. Oh, he
after
has
you leave the
drugstore
going towards Winstola.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he raised that bird, you see, from a chick. What happened, this old couple that I was telling you about had chicks. And a dog got a hold of one of her chicks and killed it. So when they have chicks like this, the mother, when they have two chicks, the mother takes one, and the father takes the other, and they don't correspond with one another until the chicks are almost grown.
I don't know that.
And so, in order for them to get back together again with the one chick, they'll go back together and raise the one together. But when there's two, they separate. One takes each chick.
What you mean?
So
the
dog
birds,
killed one of her babies.
You mean the bird?
Sandhill
crane.
So a bird killed one of her babies. So then, after the bird killed her baby, the mother and father got back together again. Well, at their first reunion, there's an argument. There's a fight. What it's about, I don't know. Whether they want to rejoin or just what it is. But while they were fighting, Berman went out there in the field and he noticed the dog coming again. And he just seen him kill the one. So he went out there and rescued the little one from the parents. Well, they were happy about that because then they were all so much in love they just took off, you see.
Oh.
And Berman took the baby chick. Well, we found out it was quite an ordeal to raise one of these things, so we got in touch with Mr. Hendricks over here at the drugstore and we told him about it. He wanted the chick, so we took it over there and gave it to him. Well, he had an awful time with it for the first 2 months. It caught pneumonia and it did this and he gave it all kinds of shock. Oh, he almost lost it.
And he carried it around in his car with him?
Just like a dog.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And he used to bring it out to the farm there and when it got two-thirds grown, he'd open the door and it would walk right out like somebody, you know, and stretch his neck and look all around there, go around and catch bugs and chase the kids. He was a big pet. And we've been over several times to visit with the bird. And I haven't been over there now, but
he'd walk back in the car.
He'd get right back in when it was time to go. He thought he was
he
human.
He brought him out to the house several times.
Yeah, he thought he was human. So now, Mr. Hendricks took that bird and he's raised it. And since then, they had another. They only have young every 2 years, I think it is. And they had another chick. But this time, it was only the one. And so you know what those two birds did, the old couple? I call them the old couple because they've been around for so long. They brought that chick up in the yard and abandoned it and left it there, and they brought it right up to Johnny. Johnny was playing in the yard. And they abandoned it. So help me, they did. And I said, oh no, I didn't want that bird. And I knew Mr. Hendricks didn't want another one. So I told Johnny, I said, you just take that chicken and run right along behind the mother and let it go. And we did. He picked it up, and she didn't. Usually they'd squawk if you picked it or touch any of the youngs, you know. But they didn't want us. They didn't want anything to do with the chick. They wanted us to raise it for them like we did 2 years ago.
Sure.
So he took that bird, and he ran after the mother, and making all kinds of little noises, you know. So she'd turn around and come back and get the bird. She never did turn around, and he left it sitting out there in the middle of the field, and he came back to the house and directly. She gave up, the both of them did, came back and got the little chick and went off. So help me, that's what happened.
You say she's making this up.
No, so help me, that's what happened.
The animals have strange ways that we don't understand.
And I don't know, that one's got me buffaloed, that one that was there by itself. I don't understand that, whether something happened to his mate, and it's the old one of the pair, the old couple, or whether Mr. Hendricks has taken that bird and turned it loose and it's taken up clear at the house. Because I've seen him come and come again.
It loose, it might
have, I don't think so either, unless something's happened that he had to. Look at there.
Who is it?
It's that sucker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a red belly.
Yeah.
You know, there's a real.
No, that's a woodpecker. Really?
Yeah.
Huh?
You don't look like a woodpecker either.
What is
that?
Yeah, see, he's a red belly.
Red
belly woodpecker.
Yeah. But now.
Well,
he's
sure
is. No,
he's young.
He's something else. That's
he's
a
sapsucker.
He's a female sapsucker.
That's
right.
That sapsucker's been coming up here, and it's the first one I've ever seen down in the forest.
There was two of them in our front yard yesterday. Two sapsuckers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
boy,
right.
And the orange groves, orange men, they don't like them things. They'll sit for hours in a grove waiting for them to come down, and they'll shoot them.
And I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I don't think it's right.
It's
good
ridiculous.
Gracious. They're going to have to plant enough for them. I plant strawberries, plant enough for you and the birds.
Shut it. Let me tell you. Before you run out, I want to hear about those two roughnecks.
Oh. Well, what can I tell you? I haven't already told you about them too much.
I just want to hear it all over again.
Guy came home, he said, I just don't believe it.
That is just unbelievable.
I don't believe it.
Well, you look at my cupboards and you'll believe it. I've got to go to town to get groceries. I don't trust Berman coming home anymore with a bag here and a bag there. I've got to go in and get about $90 worth of groceries if I can tend to start housekeeping.
Faye said, I hadn't noticed it, but Faye said when we come on back yesterday, she said after Shirley had told that story about those two boys, she said her kitchen looked bare.
It was.
There was nothing on the stove and didn't look like anything in the refrigerator.
And I'm telling you, and there was the cupboards just about as bare.
What?
They ate it up.
Who was?
They ate it all up. Lloyd and Jackie and well, Johnny wasn't too bad, but Johnny's a moderate eater. He used to eat heavy.
Yeah.
He used to eat twice as much Berman than I would eat. But now, I never saw anything.
I don't know. I heard Christine just start to put their foot down and forbid them, their children, to bring in company.
Well,
I don't see how in the world Christine holds up to it.
Oh, she does that too?
She cooks and she washes and she irons and she mops and she's... I don't know how in the world she does it. There's always a crowd there.
Yeah.
You know, the way I look at it, I'd rather do that. I'd rather kill myself in the kitchen than to let my kids go to the neighbors. And not knowing where they're going, what they're doing, or what whether they're drinking.
The neighbors, and I wouldn't let them bring the neighbors to my house. I tell you, I might have would have done it one time, but not now.
No.
There'll be a day coming when you'll stop it.
Yep, there's so much of this dope going around.
I know it.
And that is one thing I'm really watching out for.
Yeah.
I tell you, I read everything I can get my hands on about that. And I don't want Johnny or Bonnie or any of them.
No.
And you know
there's no use for you to kill yourself.
There's
just
amateurs at 10 years of age on the stuff.
Shirley?
I can't think. I can't even imagine my kids.
Let me tell you now. I want to hear about them boys. On Saturday, what was it? Saturday, you had to take a trip.
Yeah, Saturday morning we had to. We were going if we had to crawl. If I had to tie a rope on each one of them and just lead them, I would have.
And that old you went off in that old car.
Yeah, I think we made it on a prayer because I don't think the car had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
The car was just—it had a motor and some wheels, and they just kept turning. And then I think it was prayers that kept it going because. Well, when we drove out of the driveway, the minute we drove out of the driveway, we started having trouble with the car.
Where'd you have to go?
And I started praying harder and harder.
Where'd you have to go, Miss Dawn?
Orlando, back to Bethel.
Good.
That's where they live, you know, down there where we used to live. That's why I say these boys, these three boys, Johnny, Jackie, and Loy, have spent every Christmas up till Jack died together.
Oh, they have?
Yeah. See, they grew up. She'd come over and leave her babies as she went to town, so I'd be changing one. Instead of changing one diaper, I'd go through and change three, you know, and feed Pablum, you know. I had dishes of Pablum all over the house, and babies. So I'm telling you, it was a weird sight watching the three of them. Just like triplets, you know. Here Jackie was just barely toddling around when the other two were just infants in the crib.
Yeah.
So it was up till the time they were about 4 and 5 years of age. I think I told you that Jack died when they were 3 and 4 years of age, but it was 4 and 5 years. Lloyd was 4 when Jack died. So, they were still quite small then. And then, for a couple of years, she traveled around, went to California and everywhere. She'd been everywhere, you know, trying to forget Jack, her first husband. So he died at 32 with nephritis of the kidneys. And she thought the world was made in Jack, you know. And then when he died, she just took her boys and started traveling.
Oh, really?
She couldn't, she knew she was running away from the situation, so she just brought her boys back and moved into the same house that her and Jack used to live in. But meantime, while she was traveling around, she met Jack in Connecticut. So her and Chet got married. Chet was married before, and his wife had died because she had epilepsy, and it left him with a daughter. But the daughter was 8 years old when Lloyd was 8 or 9 years old. That's been 10 years ago. They've been only married. Let me see. They've been married about 5 years, and Barbara is 19 now. So, it's more like a family reunion.
I didn't realize that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, this is why I put up with them. Other than that, if it was just, you know, friends, I think I'd eliminate every other Christmas anyway. Something like that. Every third, fourth Christmas, you know. But being family.
Well, now, that's what I thought when she said that Helen had left them boys up there for a week. I thought to myself, now that's so screwball. I always run other people's business, you know.
Now, see, Helen and I are close, almost like sisters, really.
Yeah.
I'm closer, her and I are close, than Berman is, her and Berman, and they're cousins, first cousins. Her daddy and Berman's daddy were brothers. And her kids have always called me Aunt Shirley.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And my kids would call her Aunt Helen. So we're more like sisters than anything else. So if anybody asks me how the boys are related, I always say, well, they're my nephew, and cut the long story out, you know. But they're not really not. They're.
But now this evening, I want to hear about that evening. They tell about the day they went fishing.
Well, she won't believe that.
No.
I told her some while we were at the house. Let me see. They were all down there, including Donnie Boatnight's boy and Von Shear, Faye's boy. And they're all fishing, and Danny was the only one catching the fish, and they all had to stand right next to him. It just looked like all his corks here, and Danny was in the middle. You know, they were all trying to catch the fish, next fish that Danny would catch. They were all using the same type of bait, and Danny would pull one in, and he'd put some more bait on, put it back down, he'd catch another fish and pull it in, and they were all so mad, they were furious. They were ready to, and Tommy did throw his pole down, he gave up. He just give it all away. So he threw down his pole, and his line went into the water. Nothing on the hook, naked hook. And Johnny standing next to it with his rod and reel, and he caught him. Well, he thought there was a fish on there. Lloyd said, "You got something on your line, Johnny." Well, he saw the fish flopping back and forth in the water, so he thought it was on his line. Here he is reeling in the reel, and Tommy's pole started sneaking out into the pond. Then he realized it was on Tommy's pole and not his, so he dropped his line, went to pick up Tommy's pole, and when Tommy noticed it from the other side of the pond, he comes running over there. He said, "That's my fish," you know, because it was his pole. So I thought they were going to pull that poor mud fish in half. It was about that long.
Oh, a couple of feet long?
Yeah, it must have been about 4 pounds. It was a big fish. And a naked hook. I can't figure that out. I thought they were going to pull that fish in, too.
Yeah.
Fighting over it. Johnny said it was his fish. He pulled it out. You know, the excitement of catching it wasn't that it was worth, because we wouldn't eat a mud fish, but some people do.
Hmm.
But,
Well, now, you'd fed them before you took them down there?
Yes, all they could eat.
That breakfast, Shirley.
Yes, that's it. And I had bacon and eggs and grits, and I had cream of wheat and oatmeal and toast. I don't know how many loaves of bread we went through. I had that oven was constantly making toast for breakfast from the time I hit that floor in the morning until they left the back door. It seemed like they just couldn't get enough toast.
And pancakes.
And those pancakes. Lloyd had to have his pancakes. I made them, I think, 3 times while he was here.
Oh.
And he had a stack, and I swear it was that high on his plate.
Yeah.
And I make when I make pancakes, I don't dibble dabble and make little ones to stay in the kitchen all day. I make them the size of the plate.
Oh.
Shirley?
I do. I make. Berman says this guy at the university is bragging about how many pancakes he had for breakfast. Berman says, "How many did you have?" And he said, "I ate 24. And Berman says, "My gosh, you were blessed." He said, "I'd take you over to the hospital." And so the next morning, he happened to be going by that guy's apartment, and he knocked on the door, and he says, "Hey, do you still feel all right after eating those 24 breakfast pancakes?" And he says, "Yes, I'm in here eating some more." And he asked Berman if he'd like to have a pancake. He says, "Yes, I would." So he went in, and here she was making pancakes. I swear they weren't that big round.
Yeah.
And he says, "Boy," he says, "no wonder he ate 24 of them. He had to have 24 to make a decent meal."
Then how many did the boy eat in yours?
He had a stack like this on his plate. I think he must have had at least 6 or 7 pancakes, because they're about... oh, fourth of an inch thick.
And he ate all of them?
He ate every one of them. And then he had bacon, eggs, and grits beside that, and toast, and jelly. And
<Can you believe?
laughs> I just couldn't.
See what I told you?
By the time he went down and got fishing. And I'm darn if he wasn't the first one to yell that he was hungry one day.
I know.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
So you had to bring him home and feed him.
And I fed him. I thought, well, I'm going to bust him, you know, either one way or another. So I fed him. I figured if he ate that much darn, he's going to get sick.
Yeah.
So really, I fed him. I thought, well, I'm going to break him eating so much. So I don't remember what we had for dinner. But I remember I just kept piling on his plate, and he kept eating as fast as I keep piling it. Everybody else ate, and they were up still leaving. He was still sitting there eating. And Johnny went in and got his gun. Got a gun for Jackie. Berman was getting the shells ready. He was taking them hunting after dinner. This was after the fishing trip in the morning.
Oh.
So I figured I was going to get them out of the house, so that I could get a little bit of something done and cook supper so that I'd have it done by the time they got back from hunting, you know. I'd have that all taken care of. And yeah, and Lloyd was still eating while they were fixing their guns in there. And they were getting ready to go out the door, and he was still chopping away. And then finally, he said, just as they were going out the door, he says, "Where's my gun?" And Johnny says, "Well, you can quit feeding your face. It's in there in the den." He says, "You pick it up and you carry it." He says, "I'm not going to carry your gun while you sit there and eat." So Johnny was getting disgusted with him. So finally he went in there and got his gun. And he started out the door, and as he went out, he grabbed a tangerine after all that he'd eaten. And he drinks milk by the quart jar. I have, you know, these mayonnaise jars that I use to put in the refrigerator. Instead of pouring it in a glass, he just takes the top off of the mayonnaise jar and uses that for a glass. drinks the whole quart.
And these people are just like
smell.
That.
I'm telling you, I just couldn't believe it.
That's just the way Glenda May is.
And at one time I thought, well, that orange tree.
She could sit down here to the table and drink just as much iced tea as she could hold. And you'd get up and take her down to the woods of the store, and that's the first thing she'd have to have is a piece of candy and a cold drink.
How about that? She 14?
Yes, she's...
That must be a bad age. After this, I'll wait till I get to be 16 or something. Wait till they worry about their
figure.
There's
some people that don't never get the gut full anyway.
They just do it all their life.
Do it all their life.
And Brother looked at me. He saw Lloyd eating like this one day, one evening. He said... He says, I don't understand it. Here he says, Lloyd eats and eats. He said, it's a wonder he's not as big as a barn, you know. Well, he's big enough. And he says, and you sit down. He says, you're lucky if you finish an egg before you're up doing something else. And he says, I don't see how in the world. I said, well, I don't have to eat all. I have to smell it.
You know,
I just keep gaining weight. I can't lose. And I'm so finicky about what I eat and where I, you know, when I eat. And here Lloyd is just stuffs any time and anything in his mouth. He just but it must be burning. It must be the cells or something at that age, burning up the food as fast as they consume it.
He moving all the time.
All the time. That boy is never still. Never still. He makes me tired just looking at him.
Yeah.
And they went. Barbara came back and he was dragging. He had taken them about 6 miles on a hike back in the woods.
Yeah.
Just hunting, you know. Well, you know, you go and you look a while and you hunt a while and you walk. And by the time you walk 6 miles, you're tired carrying those guns, too. You know what Lloyd did? Sat down at the table. And he wanted to be fed. And they got in around 4:30, somewhere around there. And I did. I had supper all fixed by the time they come back. I figured I was going to be ahead of the game, you see. Well, the first thing he did was sit there. He wasn't awake for supper. I figured, well, I'd take him back down to the hole. We'd fish until dark, then come back and have a bite to eat, and that'd be it. But then I thought, well, since he sat down, I'll go ahead and feed him his supper early. We'll go fish till dark, come back, take our baths, and go to bed. And that's not what Lloyd thought, because he had his supper there, and I mean he ate. And I figured, well, maybe hunting made him hungry, you know, after all that walking. So he ate, Johnny ate, Lloyd ate, Timmy and Danny and Tommy just wasn't up to eating. They'd already eaten so much before they left. So we went down to the hole again around, I guess it must have been about 5:30, somewhere around in there, and fished till dark. And as soon as we put the poles up, Berman carried them back down to the creek for me. I'd rented the poles from Mrs. Nell McCullough. And he had taken the poles back. Johnny and Jack went with him. Well, Johnny and Jack got a cold drink and a candy bar at the store. Berman had to stop there for a minute and do something or another. And while he was there, these two boys got a candy bar and a cold drink at the store. But the rest of us all went on to the house. Why they didn't take Lloyd is beyond me. I was stuck with Lloyd. He followed me around like a puppy dog. Especially when I went to the kitchen.
You mean even after he got back from fishing?
No,
this
was after dark. Now, they'd rolled up their fishing poles. They were through fishing. And Johnny, Jackie, and the fishing pole, Berman, had taken the fishing poles back to Nails. And I had taken the rest of them back to the house, the rest of the little kids, and Lloyd. And Lloyd had to have his midnight snack, he said, before he went to bed. And so he sat down and he ate another meal before he went to bed. So I was never sure after those kids went to bed that Lloyd was going to stay there. I just knew he'd be under the icebox before I got to sleep. And I didn't dare fix anything for the next morning ahead of time because he'd be in there eating it.
Now Johnny couldn't keep up with him.
As far as activities, so. Oh no, Johnny wouldn't eat half as much. He wouldn't eat half as much. Well, he'd eat a decent, you know, meal. He'd eat a helping of his meat and two or three vegetables and his dessert, a glass of milk, and he'd be satisfied. Maybe a piece of bread and butter with his meal. And he'd be satisfied, and he'd never come back for seconds. But Lloyd, it just piling on there is just unbelievable. I fixed a platter of bacon and eggs, and I know I had 15, 20 eggs on that platter because they were all around the outside. The bacon was in the strips in the center. And I used a 2.5 pound package of bacon that was in the center here. And the eggs was all around the outside of the platter. I don't know how many. There must have been 15 to 20 eggs on it. And you know, he doesn't think about anybody else. You pass him the bacon and eggs, and if you don't serve him, he just rakes off whatever portion he thinks he can eat onto his plate, and not thinking of, you know, dividing it among those there. He just start about the middle platter. That was Lloyd. I never saw anything like it. And the grits, he just, whatever that spoon will hold, he would just take that plus go back for more. And they'd be big servings for me.
But you spent all your Christmas.
That's it, in the kitchen.
The heck with that. The yonder's a red-headed woodpecker now.
Oh,
yeah,
beautiful.
That's the one. That's the one.
That's the one I was here the other day. Beautiful.
Yes. That's the
one I like.
That we call the sapsucker. I don't know what he is. But
isn't he darling?
Now, ain't he a beauty? Look at that.
And people kill some and they shouldn't do it.
Oh, they shouldn't.
He'll eat that way and then he'll wipe it.
And he'll get on a ear of corn and peck the worms out.
Oh, will he?
Yeah. Yes, he will.
Okay, how cute he lifts his head.
And people says he eats the corn. He don't do it. He goes in that end of that shelf and gets them old big worms.
How often do you have to put that foot out,
You don't have to put it out very often if the possums don't get up there.
Do they get up?
They get up there and clear the...
Now, what is that? Board. Just beef suet?
Uh-huh. Yes, but it's the tallow kind. It's the crumbly kind.
Mm-hmm. Flake kidney.
Flaky.
If you get the stringy kind, they don't... Mm-hmm.
Where do you get yours? Over here at Bell Benny?
Yeah. They get it.
What you do, just cut it off of your steak or something that...
No, we get a great big piece at a time.
Tell them what Danny's doing for the bird.
Building a birdhouse. It's so cute, I want him to build me one.
Oh, really? He got all he wanted for
and
Christmas.
I'd like to have a board by it, you know, and put something like that for the bird.
Yeah, he's going to put a feeder right next to it. He's going to hang it. He's going to put the birdhouse on the pole so to keep the cat from going up the, you know, the piece of tin so the cat
look
climb
at his
up
back. Isn't he beautiful?
Yeah, he's gorgeous.
He's pretty thing. He looks like that shirt that you showed me.
Yeah.
We got Johnny back.
Got Johnny a shirt here. Here, let me do this. This is my job.
That's a small price to pay for that beautiful fellow, except I didn't see him.
Oh, well, that ain't nothing spilling coffee.
I'll put this down so the bottle won't be in it.
He is beautiful.
Oh,
his back looks like that new shirt.
Get out and wipe it up some more because it's more under this mat here.
Well. Yeah. Let me see, Johnny. Now, didn't I tell you about that?
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But now they all ate, and Lloyd and the other boy. He wasn't a small eater.
No, but he's more moderate. And he's more polite. And he'll at least share with you, you know. Lloyd doesn't think about that.
Are they brothers?
Hal and Jack were married 10 years, and then they had they adopted this baby 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks old. And then turn around and they...
Him and his dad.
Then after they adopted this one baby that was 2 weeks old, 10 months later they had their own son.
Yeah.
And so, it's the baby that they adopted that eats so much.
No, no, it's the other one.
Oh.
It's wrong. It's the dot in them, I think.
Surely.
I think it's the dot. Well, her mother's bigger than I am. Or as big as I am, and that's big.
Well, she don't eat enough to keep her alive.
And I stay on the go so much. That's what bugs me, and I keep gaining, But,
I was see. One morning, they was in there, and they were scuffling.
Yeah, they were in a big argument.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you about that at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I was laying in bed, trying to sleep, and all this racket going on in the boys' bedroom back there. Well, they'd been in scuffles prior to this, because Lloyd's got a very nasty disposition. He just doesn't get along with any, you know, other kids. He'd even been in a fight with little Donnie both nights. You know how little Donnie is, and here this big giant is. David and the... Well, anyhow. David and the giant, I started saying. But anyhow, they got in this argument back then. I figured, well, I'm just going to let them fight it out. Because I'd been in there so many times, you know, I'd break it up. And as soon as I'd leave, they'd get into it again anyhow. So I figured, well, let them battle it out. Well, Tommy was little, and it was with him that the argument was started. Him and Lloyd. Lloyd did something, Tommy didn't like it, and Tommy let him know it. So then Danny thought it was sort of unfair for Lloyd to pick a fight with Tommy because of the size difference. Yeah, so Danny got into it, helping Tommy. Well, Jackie thought it was kind of rude for him to fight with his own cousin, so he got in the midst of it. He tried to break Lloyd up from fighting with Tommy and Danny. Well, then they really had it back there, because when Lloyd and Jackie have a fight, they have a humdinger. So here comes Johnny. And he thought, well, that's not right. They shouldn't be fighting, you know, among themselves. So he's going to break it up. So he got between Jackie and Lloyd, and there was fists going everywhere.
Good Lord.
They were all in a fight. Tommy, I heard later, got on Lloyd's back, and he was trying to, you know, like a leech, just trying to hang on. And Johnny said he was written. Lloyd was really mad, and he said he was throwing his fists at everyone. So he said, it took us all to whip him. That's what he said. It took us all to whoop him.
Now, who said that, Danny?
Johnny.
Danny.
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 That's the little one.
Took us all. No, that's the next two.
Uh huh.
But it was the little one that they were all fighting with.
Uh huh.
So it started the whole thing.
Yeah. But they ain't a little one now.
And well, she calls. See, Lloyd is her baby because he's the youngest one.
Yeah.
Baby, 6'4" or something, and 260 pounds. I don't call that a baby. And I called Tommy my baby, see?
Yeah.
So the two babies were in a fight. And they're the ones that started it. And then Danny got in, then Jackie got in, then Johnny got in. And they were all fist fighting back there. This was something like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I'd just lay there till it got... they all killed one another, and then I'd come out slowly but surely, you know. So I didn't hear anything. And I thought, well, they did kill one another. So I went into the bedroom. They weren't there. I went into the living room. And here, you know, the big picture window.
Mm-hmm.
They were all sitting in chairs, just like they were watching a movie, in a half circle, looking out the picture window.
Mm-hmm.
Out into the green grass there, you know. And I kept looking. I looked out there, and I was wondering what in the world they were looking at. And the curiosity just got to me. So I asked them, I said, what are you watching? And Jackie says, we're watching Lloyd. He's walking home. And then they all started to laugh. I thought they were going to bust.
Oh, really?
They thought that was a big joke. He's walking home, you know, all the way to Buffalo. Something like 100-some-odd miles. And I said, when did he leave? And he said, a while ago. I said, can you see him? And they said, oh, no, he's out of sight. Well, I got in the car and started after him, and I had to go halfway to the creek before I found that boy. walking alongside the road barefoot. He had his legs, pants legs rolled up and carrying his shoes in his hand. He was going home. Tears just rolling down here. He was crying just as hard as he could. They were just rolling down his face. He was mad. I parked that car and I said, "Lord, you get in this car before I burn up your bottom." And he got in the car and I drove him home, and I think it was a force of habit. I'm not sure. But the first place he sat down was at the kitchen table. And he really poured it out to me. He says, "I was going home." He said, "I was really going home." I said, "Lord, you didn't dare go before breakfast." And I said, "I'm going to burn you up." You get up and ruin my day.
She said, Shirley told us, she called over a couple of times.
All this time, I'm in my nightgown. He's walking home. I'm going after him in the car in my nightgown. I want you to know.
You know, we've got to go home.
No, you
haven't.
I got so much to do.
My
husband divorced me
if
he walks in and finds that house in the shape it's in.
I got to be in Hawthorne before 2 o'clock.
Well, you got plenty of time. I'm going to fix you some lunch right this minute.
No, don't do that. We got to go.
I
got to go to Hawthorne.
You got to go to Hawthorne before 2?
Mm-hmm. I got to be over there before that bank closes.
Oh, bank business. But that is the funniest thing. I laugh. Well, I thought we was going to celebrate. I got some
steak.
What time do you have to get? 1:30. You can leave here at 1:30.
I don't believe I can make it.
You
can
leave
at 1. I'm home and got my bills together.
I see.
It's the end of Channel 1 Right and a continuation of the visit with Shirley and Ms. Guthrie. This Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72. The end of Channel 1 Right and a continuation of the remarkable visit of Shirley and Ms. Guthrie. This Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72. Channel 1 Right. The end of Channel 1 Right and a continuation of the visit with Shirley and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72.